Hello, hello. What a joy to be here in December. And in the United States, we're in winter. But I know that around the world, we have different seasons going on. We have different needs and different things that draw our awareness in the animal kingdom. And today, we're really talking about what the animals ask us to talk about was food and water sources. And in some parts of the country right now, this might not be the right time for this conversation, but we can take notes and we can have this conversation, be in present moment where you are when you need to listen to the recording. For those of us who are in the United States, or the Northern Hemisphere, if you will. We're in winter right now. And so water and food sources are not as available. And it was really interesting, when I go about looking for what our conversation is going to be about, there's always something that the animals point to and bring awareness to. So I had a friend up in one of our parks called Estes Park up here, kept saying, this bear should be hibernating right now. This bear should be hibernating. There was a lot of shoulds that might be happening. And I started looking around, and it was not cold enough, consistently cold enough for the bear to hibernate. But the other part was that people were putting food out, and this little bear knew exactly where to find a food source. And it also depends on the age of the bear. So for young bears, if they're not with their mom anymore, all that they know is, I have to go look for, I have to go look for, I have to go look for. And this little particular bear that she was showing pictures of was definitely under 2 years old. Obviously had lost its mom, had lost its way, but people in the neighborhood left food out. So one of the things we're going to talk about today is there's a fine line between providing for and getting in the way of. Does that make sense? Sometimes we think we're meaning well, but if we provide too much at the wrong time, then we don't allow the animal to, or human, but we don't allow the animal to go doing what is normal in their life. We don't allow them to go searching for, finding for, scavenging, hunting, that type of deal. So here's another example of inappropriate or at the wrong time. I live in a townhome community, and we used to have these beautiful fox. I mean, beautiful fox. And there was a woman who was renting to the left of me. And we had a mom, a fox mom, that threw five kits. And this woman was putting out roasted chickens. And I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? She says, well, the mom's pregnant, so I need to, provide for her. Well, number one, it was roasted meat, cooked meat, but it was also barbecued chicken, right? So, I'm sitting here scratching my head, and I'm like, yeah, that's the wrong thing you should be doing. If you did want to provide for the animal, then at least allow it to be raw, something that would be closer to what they would hunt for. But the woman didn't, wouldn't listen. But that is a really prime example of providing when you weren't asked to, or providing that mother then did not have to go search for the food. Let's go back to bears. I think I've talked about this before on the Animal Channel, that bears will only gestate if they have shelter and food. And depending on how many cubs they throw is how secure they feel. So if we take that same concept and apply it to those kits, that mama knew that she was going to have food because here's this woman providing her. She didn't have to go hunting for herself. She threw five kit, and that is so rare. Maybe three, but not in a housing community. You're not going to see a mom raccoon or fox or skunk or deer. You're just not going to see them throwing multiples like that because they don't know what the food source is going to be. right? And so, you know, it's where's that line? Where's that line? So we're in the winter here, and I just keep being shown, you know, food and water, food and water, food and water. And so where I'd like you to really, you know, look at is to ask the animals around you what would be in balance, right? We're not just going to give, provide. We're going to ask them, are you in need? Is this the appropriate time? What would be in balance? So here's another example, okay? You know that where I live, I have this townhome community, but I have a pond right out of my backyard. And, you know, I'm watching a bunch of geese right now and a bunch of duck, and everybody's kind of sitting here. But it would be completely inappropriate for me to go out there and give them bread, which is, you know, on their no list, but to provide them anything that they couldn't forage for themselves. Now, what I may do is take some of Kianga's, like she's already eaten her food, and the powder, you know, that's at the very bottom, the powder where her pellets or her food got mushed up, I may take that and sprinkle that in the leaves so they could forage for that. But I'm not just going to go set a bowl out and say, here's your food, unless everything's frozen over. So, again, here's where that fine line, where's that fine line of providing for getting in the way of the animals in our care, if you will, or in our environment. And we have to remember that we can't always see the animal. So, for example, you may be putting out some apples, and, you know, those are feeding birds, they're feeding squirrels, but then after that food goes down into the ground, they're feeding, you know, that which is under the soil, or the beetles that are coming out, the ants that are coming out, the crickets that are coming out. You're feeding a lot more than just one ecosystem. So one of the things that we always can provide is water sources, and that is not getting in the way of anybody. What I would say on your water sources is make sure that the water source is clean, that it is at a depth that the animals can get to and not just, you know, roll around and play in. So, again, I'm going to go to bears. A gentleman that is around me here someplace, he has a bunch of land, and he actually has a wonderful program where he got a couple of the middle schools together. The middle schools raised money, and they put in, I'm going to get this name wrong, but they put in a water container, and then they put cameras around so that they could see who comes to this water source. And it's really delightful because they've had bear, mountain lion, bobcat. So they've had a wide variety come and visit this water source. And what is required is that every month somebody has to go up there and dump the soiled water out, clean the tank, and refill it. And it's a 500-gallon tank. So one of the things that I watched this group do is they had a whole day event where everybody was packing water, you know, and it was a trip, you know, and then it was a fun day. It was a trip up there. But they got the community involved in what was happening there. So the community can watch the pictures. The community knows they're providing, you know, water sources for these animals. But one time they left the hole too big. And here's where I'm giggling, is because instead of it becoming let's come and drink and have a wonderful sip and replenish my thirst, this bear thought that it would be really great to take a swim. And so the bear kept coming back, and you can just imagine, you know, you got a bunch of fur on you, you take a dunk, and all that which is loose is going to go down into the water. So here's Mr. Bear leaving behind, jumps out of the water that had been clean, a wonderful drinking source, and now all of a sudden it's soiled with excrement, whatever stuck on the fur, you know, whatever was in the paws. So it became a playground. But now it's soiled it so no one else can come and drink from that source. So you see that? It changed from a play source from a drinking source to a play source, and then removed itself from the drinking source. And I'll notice that out in when I provide water out for, say, the birds, the outdoor birds, is I actually take dog dishes and I fill them up, and I have to have three or four because I know there's one particularly that's, say, 2.5-3 inches tall. The ducks love to wiggle around in that. And again, here was a pristine water source that now is a bunch of mud and sludge. So I have a couple water sources that's for them to do that, but I know I have to go out periodically and dump that out, refresh it, and I keep my eye on the other water sources. So let's just talk about water sources. We'll talk about food here in a minute, but water sources. So shallow dishes. But understand that once it freezes, that water is going to freeze. But things you can do in your water sources is you can take, applesauce, or you can take blueberries, raspberries, any kind of berry, and you can mix it in the water source, and so that when it does freeze, it's going to freeze that fruit into the water, so that as it defrosts, you're giving a high sugar or a low sugar or whatever, you know, whatever you're putting in there. You're putting in a nutrient source for the birds that come, the squirrels that come and drink out of your sources. If I see that we have a herd of deer coming through our area, I'll put out buckets of water. And into those I may put, you know, slice up some apples and dunk in the water as well. But I have to keep my eye on that because, again, I want to be a help. I do not want to be a hindrance. And let's say I left all those apples in and the deer left. I do not want that to become a problem for a raccoon. Or, again, we've had a couple bears come down here. I do not want a bear to think, especially in winter, oh, here's a place I can come and get a little snack. So where's that fine line between what I'm providing for that has a need and when am I becoming a nuisance? And you can ask the animals. All right, you can ask the animals. So we've talked a little bit about adding fruit, you know, small fruit. Don't load it up, but small fruit. Another thing, coconut water. Let's take the coconut water. You can go get one of those cans of coconut water, $2, you know, $2.50, something like that, and take the water and put a couple tablespoons of that coconut water in the dishes of your other water. And again, it just adds a little bit of flavoring. It adds a little nutrient in there into the water sources for the animals. Now, another way that you can provide a source of, honey, I need you to go someplace else right now. Thank you. Another way you can provide sources of fluid is to get really ripe. You can't do these if they're not really ripe, but oranges. And if you take the orange before you cut it and kind of roll it on the counter and get it softer, and then cut it in half, stick it on a bunch of nails so that it stays in place, you're now giving a food water source to the animals. And typically what you'll see is the birds will come into the oranges. You can do that with apples as well, but the apples tend to freeze hard. And so if you're going to provide apples, either slice them or, you know, cut them into smaller chunks. The thing that I have noticed about animals is watch where you put their sources. They definitely have to have their nutrient source be in a place where they do not feel vulnerable. Does that make sense? So, for example, on my fence, I put two nails on the fence, so they're higher than, obviously, the ground, and that's where I'll, you know, cut my oranges in half and, you know, shove them on the nails so that they're not going anywhere. But I tried this one day out in a different area, you know, down on a walkway, and I thought, oh, here's all these birds, and so I threw some seed on the floor, on the ground, and they never touched it, never touched it. And I'm sitting there going, well, yeah, duh, you know, you didn't allow them to have a safe place, right? So you want your sources of help to be off the ground, So it can even just be, 6 inches off the ground, something that the bird can land on, get what they need, and fly off, or that a cat can't pounce on them while they're getting their needs and then pounce off. Okay? So let's shift a little bit to food. What kind of foods can you provide? So one year we had a lot of deer coming through, and they just looked gaunt. I mean, seriously gaunt. There was no food sources for these deer at all. And I went to one of the local feedlots here, and I asked them, what do you have? What could I do that would be helpful, and what would not be helpful? And they turned me on to, again, their pellets, but they had elk pellets. And they said, yay, up on like a lot of ranches, a lot of ranchers come down and just get, these 50-pound bags of pellets. And you don't leave a lot out. You just leave enough to where it's going to get them over to the bushes, get them munching on something else. So, again, shallow dish, a handful, maybe a cup of pellets, and you don't give more until it's empty. That was another really key thing. You do not provide more until what you already provided out there is empty. So that was a new concept, for outside. I know, here in the house we have to do one thing, but it's completely different outside. They also really highly recommended salt licks for the animals. So because they get their electrolytes get low, because they're dehydrated, they suggested that we had the area to do this, to put up a salt lick. And in my townhome community, that would be a complete against whatever the bylaws here are of the HOA. So I didn't do that. You can put feeders up, but for whatever reason, you can't put a salt lick up. But should you be in a place where that is allowed, that would be another thing. It just allows them to lick and get the nutrients, get the salts in their body that they need, those cell salts in their body. So, one day I came across a fresh kill, and a deer had been taken down. And it was really interesting because you could see where the animals that are hungry are going. When they take another animal down, they're looking for a water source again. They go for the organs first. They go for the intestines and the organs first. So whether it's a bobcat, mountain lion, taking down deer, taking down a wildebeest, taking down, whatever, a calf, whatever that source is, they're going to go for the organs and the intestines first, to get those fluids in the body. So again, what can you do, we do, to help provide for them that gives them, a water source? We all know that we can go, X number of days without food, but we can only go so many days without water. So I think between water and food, give water, have plenty of water sources. And again, at different heights. And then, like we said, you can add little things to it. You can even get little salts and add little salts into the water, too. That would help. But make sure it's not table salt. Make sure it's the pink salt or the gray salt or, going into a salt lick. And you're really looking for cell salts is what you're looking for here. Things that you can provide in the winter is, again, I look at birds and squirrels and see what's here wanting to eat to make sure I'm not becoming a nuisance. But every once in a while, if you go to a grocery store and you'll see the cheapest peanut butter that's out there, is to take that peanut butter and take it home, pull it out of the container and load it up with seed. Load it up with pellets so that you're making your own, like those suet cakes, but you're making it with peanut butter. So it's a high-fat volume, and in that, again, you can go to Walmart's are a good places, but get safflower seeds, get those black sunflower seeds in the winter. Again, it's a high-fat volume is what you're doing. So if birds are migrating and they're coming through and they want something, they're looking for high-fat, high-volume that's going to energize them and help them keep moving. I'm going to caution you again to make sure you're not just providing an easy food source for squirrels in particular. you know, I was looking out this morning, and, you know, this little squirrel was doing the Jean-Claude Van Damme Chinese splits in a doorway. You know, he was holding on to the pole, and then the other leg was over on the feeder, and he's just reaching, trying to get, you know, a little morsel. And the one seed that squirrels will not eat is safflower seeds. And it's funny because it's one of Kianga's favorite. She loves safflower seeds. The other outside birds love safflower seeds as well. So we want to make sure that we're giving high-fat options. You can also go get those suet cakes. But let's talk about how, if I want to feed the birds but I don't want to feed the squirrels, again, we talked about safflower seeds is a really good source there. But also you can take chili powder, you know, hot sauce. The squirrels do not like hot sauce, and the birds can't taste it at all. It has no effect to them from a heat perspective. They'll eat, you know, chili powder, cayenne pepper. They'll eat all those because it's just a pepper. It's just a vegetable to them, where on the squirrel it's capsaicin, and they don't like that. So let's say another thing you'd like to do, it's a storm, you know, winter storm came out there, and you have little bowls of chopped up carrots, chopped up peas, chopped up green string beans, chopped up apples, you know, natural things that they could pull out of the ground had it been a different season. You can sprinkle some seeds in there, but focus on the fresh vegetables, the fresh fruits, because that's going to get what? Water fluid into their system. I know this wasn't part of what we were going to talk about, but sometimes shelter, they just need shelter. And I keep a large crate outside my door, and in the winter it has blankies on the inside, but I completely cover it in blankies on the outside as well, so that if the wind is whistling, it's just a safe haven, that if a critter's out there someplace and they need a safe place to spend the afternoon, the evening, that is a safe place. I don't go and put food out there, right? They're, because they're looking for shelter. The only time I've ever put food out, I did for a cat or dog, is when I've seen, we had somebody in the neighborhood that, and I didn't know it at the time, had a hoarding situation going on, and oh my God, cats were out. It was 12 degrees below zero. The cat was gaunt as all get out. That time, I put food inside of that crate outside. I was not going to bring that cat indoors. That would not have been a healthy thing for them or me or the other animals in the house. But I did provide something in the shelter. Periodically, I'll also in the winter, I'll go into my garage just to see if another animal got into my garage and was using that as a warm place to be. And if they do, then I make sure I have water source out there in the garage. But I leave blankies there for them. I just want to make sure, again, that I'm not contributing to a problem or providing something that would not allow the particular animal to go looking for themselves. So what I would like you to do, or just invite you to do, is to look around where you live, to see who's in your environment, and start talking to them like we've talked before, you know, opening up your chakras, saying hello to them, but asking whose needs can I help meet right now? And wait for the answer, because, again, a lot of times, those that need the source aren't going to ask for it, right? They're not going to just walk out like a squirrel and go, hey, I'm over here. I could really use some chocolate-covered peanut butter walnuts right now. They're not going to do that, right? They're going to hide. So talk to them. Listen to them. And you might be surprised because you may have had a new mom who it's her first litter, her first throwing of her animal, and she has no idea how she's supposed to care for her young. So you're just helping provide a little bit for her so that she can nurture her young so not everybody doesn't die, right? So that's one thing. Looking at the birds that are coming through, are they large, small? again, putting your sources in different places, different heights, making sure that where you're placing them feels really, really safe, like really, really safe for the animal to come. There was another concept that, you know, kind of surfaced to the top when I was putting this talk together is, you know, out in nature, the animals always go to their water source at dusk and dawn, or shall we say dawn and dusk. And so a lot of times we're sleeping in the dawn and we're doing other things in the dusk, so we're not paying attention during those times. Their vision is crystal clear, right? But they're always on alert, always on alert. So things that you might want to do is just get water sources. If you're up at 4 in the morning, put the water source out so it's there for when the dawn hits. But at dusk, you know, right as the sun's going down, and in the wild, I remember being in Africa and just watching, all of a sudden you saw the sun, and within 20 minutes it was pitch dark, you know, boom, boom. And so here you have all these animals down at the water source, and they all have a hierarchy of who's going to drink, and then the next herd goes out, the next grouping comes in, the pride comes in, drinks, but they're always on alert, always on alert, always on alert. So, again, I can't emphasize enough to make sure what we're providing is safe, that we're helping. And then the other part that's just beautiful is to listen to the thank yous. You know, listen to the thank yous. And sometimes, you know, I'll find a little gift outside. You know, there might be a little flower left or a feather in a place that you know the feather didn't just drop there, right? There's a presentation that's given to you. When my kitties were allowed outside a little bit more, I would always have gifts, you know, that came in. And we stopped that behavior because it wasn't really lovely to have, you know, a half-dead vole, you know, presented in the morning. So my kitties are indoor kitties, and we go for walks every now and then, but predominantly they're indoor kitties. They have enough here to explore in their environment. Outdoors, look for their gifts, right? Look for the song. Look for the thank you. Look for the eye contact. Look for how they come and eat, but then they go to a tree and just sing to you all day, right? There's going to be gratitude there when you provide for them in the winter. Another thing that if there's a storm, like to make sure that, yes, we have to shovel and do all that, but that is the one time I can say that I go fill my bird feeders to the fullest, is if we have a storm and we have, you know, 12 feet of snow, those animals cannot get to the water source because it's under all that snow. And so that's when I'll, you know, on my back porch, I may have, you know, a whole line of bowls then that's closer to my home than I typically would have done. But all the bird feeders are filled to the brim. And I do not do that in the summertime. You know, in the summertime, go forage, you know, go do birdie things. Because then if I have bird seed in the bird feeders out in the summer, while I love listening to their songs, I then have a rodent problem, and we get mice, because then the mice know there's going to be plenty of feed on the ground. So remember, I'm going to throw as many little babies as I know I'm going to have a food source for, and all of a sudden, you know, instead of having a mouse, I have 30 mouses, you know, the mouses thing. And even though I have kitties, they know those mouses are pretty smart. They know the kitties are indoor, right? And I actually had one of my neighbors follow her around because the cat kept leaving her, Elvis kept leaving her dead mice. And she wanted to know where Elvis was getting the dead mice. And she followed him to my bird feeders, right? So that's the last time I did that. It's like, okay, I'm obviously contributing to the problem. So I just want to see if the animals, because this is a really quick, short talk, right? There's not a lot that we need to go into here of providing. So just, again, look at your notes and talk to those that are in your area. Ask them what they need. you know, and then, you know, go back and look over the notes that we talked about here about different ways you can provide fluid sources, water sources, and food sources for them. And always make sure that where you're providing is in a safe place for them, easy for you to get to, but safe place for them, and that we're part of a solution, we're not part of the problem. So I know it's December. I know everybody's really busy, and thank you for the time that you brought today. Let's keep this short. Everyone have a wonderful holiday season, and blessings to everybody.